yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Connor Norby, a two-run home run in the first inning. Sends a fly ball out toward left center field and gives this one a ride. It's gone! Second two-run homer of the day for Connor Norby.
Connor Norby with the second home run. His second home run of the day, not the second home run of the day. Paul Severino with the call of the day. The home run call of the day. What a way to start the week. Yeah, thank you, everybody, at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring, for following. Thank you to Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies, for walking side by side with us as we head into, it is nut crunching time. It is rubber meets the road time. We are down to the last few weeks. The last 3 weeks? Yep, that's what we got. The races are insane. It's crazy. It's nuts. I mean, you look at the wild card races. You have the National League, where the Padres own the number one spot in the wild card, but the Arizona Diamondbacks just a half game out. And then you have Atlanta and the Mets tied for the last spot. So you have four teams looking for three spots right now. Padres, Arizona, Atlanta, Mets. That's awesome. And then the American League, the Twins, we are now defining which team is actually landing in the third spot and fending off all these other teams trying to get in that third spot after Kansas City took care of the Minnesota Twins once again. So you have the Twins in the third spot right now, 3.5 up on both the Tigers and the Mariners, two teams that were left for dead a few weeks ago, and the Red Sox hanging in there at 4 games back. So, and if you want to put in the Rays, also 5 games back. I mean, sure. So it is awesome. It is awesome. Well, we know that one team that is not involved in all of these things are the 33-111 White Sox. But the White Sox won. Yep, the White Sox won. Congratulations to the White Sox. We are celebrating a White Sox win by sitting down with Grady Sizemore. And listen, I mean, the White Sox are what they are. Go check out a couple of the podcasts we did over the weekend. We had Courtney Finnecombe, our member of our family, Courtney Finnecombe, join us, what it's like to be a White Sox fan, what the current state of White Sox fans are. Courtney is great. She called in the Baseballs and Boring radio show. And then we had Andrew Benintendi on, who is actually playing the best of any White Sox player. He's actually having a really, really good second half. And Benintendi joined us. Go check out those podcasts. But we have these White Sox perspectives. But all these aside, the manager situation is the manager situation. To manage what is going on is not easy. And to do it when you have absolutely zero managerial experience, and really, you didn't even want to be a manager a little while ago. You didn't even know if you wanted to be a coach a little while ago. That's a unique situation. And that's why I really, really wanted to sit down and talk to Grady Sizemore. So we start off the podcast to give you some perspective. So Grady Sizemore played for the Red Sox in 2014, made the opening day roster, hit a home run on opening day. And you had a guy who had so much success, 3-time All-Star. And he was at the end. He played a little bit for the Phillies, played a little bit for the Rays, retired in 2015. But such a good player for Cleveland, such a good player, such a dynamic player. And then, go to, once again, play for the Red Sox. And I cite this, and we start the podcast talking about this moment, this game we had. Spring training means nothing. We all understand that. But this game on March 17, St. Patrick's Day, 2014, where Sizemore just took over. It was, he was everywhere. He was the old Grady Sizemore. And it was, and after the game, he was very emotional because this is where this had led him. All these injuries, coming back from all these ailments, fighting to get back to the player that he was, and now for at least this one day, he was that player. I'll always remember that performance, that spring training performance. That's why I wanted to bring it up at the beginning of this podcast. So I think it's a good perspective of what Grady Sizemore is going through, who Grady Sizemore is. And, of course, we get to Grady Sizemore being ejected the other day. An excellent ejection. Textbook. Takes the zin out of his mouth, throws it, gets face, nose to nose. Excellent. I love it. We give the 30 for 30, the doc on exactly what happened there. All right, I hope everybody's ready to have a great week. We appreciate everybody, as we said. Also, go check out all the content we had over the weekend, including another Wasabi Challenge. Yep, another Wasabi Challenge. All right. I've talked enough. Here you go. Here is the manager of the Chicago White Sox, Grady Sizemore. But there's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Grady Sizemore. It's a fact. And so, Grady, it's good to see you. I covered you 10 years ago. And as I told you the other day, you had a moment. You've had a lot of great moments in your career. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
But there was one, the best spring training game ever played may have been on March 17th, 2014. And I bring it up not because you played well. And I think it was on, was it on ESPN? I don't know. It was a noteworthy game. But I remember the emotion that you had of like how far that had come to get to that point. Do you remember that at all?
I remember the game. You know, I remember, I don't really remember everything about it, but I remember having some plays in the outfield. And I remember that season, you know, it was a late signing with these guys. I still wasn't 100%. I didn't know what it was going to look like. I'd been away from the game for a long time. So it was nice to have, you know, a positive moment, to come back and kind of feel like my old self again for the first time.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the first time I had felt that way in a long time. So definitely remember the game. I remember diving for a ball. I remember my hat all being messed up. I remember it was the St. Patty's Day game. So like, yeah, it was a fun experience, you know. And I was new to the team. I hadn't been around these guys a lot. So you want to make an impression. You want to show everyone that you can play, that you still got it. So like I said, you want to make an impact.
Well, so I'm going to spin this to like the lessons of being a player, right? This one game,
yeah.
But you ended up opening day starter. You hit a home run on opening day too.
Yeah.
But you hit on some of the things about making an impression, whether that's you as a manager, whether that's young players or whatever, putting your best foot forward, the grind of it to get to that point. Because that was another part of that, Gray. To get the grind to get to that point, to, like you said, to feel sort of the way that you used to feel.
Mm-hmm.
But can you take away, I know of all the good things you had, can you take away a lot from that experience, ultimately the end of your career, but how many lessons you learned in that one time?
And just the getting there?
Getting there, and also just the understanding that, hey, you know what? You want to make a good impression, and it takes a lot to make a good impression.
Yeah, I think in that moment, I probably didn't look at it that way. You know, I think I was just so hungry to get back. So that's all I could really think about, was just trying to get back to myself and get back to competing. But, you look back, and I feel like it was if things happen for a reason, I think you go through these struggles, you have these injuries, and in the moment you're just trying to be the best version of yourself and try to fit in with these guys and make an impact. So I enjoyed it. I loved the grind. I loved just working on my game, trying to be a good team player. And I was grateful for the time that I had here. I was around a lot of great players. It was a great atmosphere. I loved loved just the community, just the whole energy that comes in with Boston. So it was short lived, but again, like I said, I think I went through so much with so many injuries. It was nice just to kind of get back and still compete at that level and have fun and have success.
Do you remember the first time? Obviously, that was adversity, but you were so good for so long early in your life. Do you remember the first time you had adversity?
In pro ball or just in general?
Whatever, man. Yeah. Like, at Little League, you probably dominated. This is a thing, right? The first time you have adversity.
Yeah, I think, you look at it different ways. I don't know. I think for me, I never viewed myself as like a... I always kind of felt like I had to get better. I never really looked at it. It was never, even in high school, I didn't look at baseball as like easy or like I can just go out there and be better than everybody. I think I always kind of had this, tried to have like this grounded approach where like I need to get better. I'm still, I'm still not where I want to be. I never felt comfortable.
Really?
Yeah, I never felt like in any sport, whether it was football, baseball, basketball, I competed in all of them, I was good in football and baseball, but I never felt like I had it figured out or like it was comfortable. So I always tried to stay humble and just, think about what I need to do to get better the next day. So it was, everything felt like adversity from high school to,
That's first, crazy. Like first, as good as you were.
Yeah, no. I never felt like
really.
That. I always felt like the competition was tough, and I had to be on my best game and be sharp. And then even in pro ball, I mean, first day, I feel like I want to say it was like an 18 inning game, and it was 1-for-9, and I was like, I got a lot of work to do, So like, I think that moment was a tough moment, Like your first game was a struggle, that first year was a grind. I remember I had a good rookie ball season, but after that, I struggled. I think I struggled in low A, I struggled in high A at the beginning. So it was a lot of like struggle. I think my best years were probably in the big leagues, not in the minor leagues. So I felt like I just continually was always trying to work to get better and grind through. It was a grind. Everything was a grind.
Well, okay, so when you finish playing baseball, the grind takes on a different form, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's so talk to me, if you can, about your mindset then. I mean, how do you view, because it's always hard. I mean, it's always hard to move on from the thing that you've done your whole adult life. But tell me about that grind.
I think from the time you're a kid, I think your identity is sports and competing and being a player. And then all of a sudden, just like that, it's off. It's over. And you don't really know what to do with yourself or really like, what your identity is at that point. So, I kind of just threw myself into my family. I was just, we had just had our firstborn like my last year, and then, my wife was pregnant with our second, and, I was just, being a husband and being a dad, and that was easy. It was not easy, but it was easy to throw myself into that, and, much harder being a parent than competing.
Well, again, you're not used to, this is another thing with retired baseball players, they said, you're around your guys more than you're around your family, right?
Yeah, I mean, you are. Yeah, you are. I mean, this is, you spend, you're here, 10, 12 hours a day, just, plugging away. So, it was nice to kind of be grounded, at home, not living out of a suitcase, and being able to throw all my time and energy into my wife and kids. So I enjoyed that, and that was my new identity. Yeah.
So when did you morph back into saying, okay, let's go?
Yeah,
let's
I think the competitive edge never really leaves.
You were playing pickleball or anything?
No, not like that. I think I just, you always, I always miss competing. I love the game. It was never something I could totally shut off. I was still in communication with some friends in the game and would talk to players every now and then. And I think it was just kind of, talking with guys and working through some things and trying to help players that kind of gave me the itch. And then when I You know, I reached out to some friends that I still had in the game and was, you know, trying to get my foot in the door, and just kind of went in slowly, and just every time I, you know, did a little bit more, I continued to like it and continued to kind of, you know, have that itch to go a little bit further, and then, and now here I am.
Well, like you said, the competitiveness thing, man, like the, it's, that's no matter what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, what you're saying is all these things, the grind of it, like the enjoyment of the grind of it, the competitive stuff, all of it. This is all the fabric of what you are.
Yeah,
this whole existence.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I think you just, that's what we are. You know, we're athletes who compete, and I think, you know, when you can't compete anymore, it doesn't shut off. You know,
no.
Internally, you still look for that edge. You still look for that. You have to, you know, channel it somewhere. So, you know, as I got away from the game 5-6 years, I still felt like I could compete, even though I knew I couldn't. So, you know, I had to channel it somehow. And, you know, I was fortunate to just kind of, you know, got in with Arizona, and then it led to this here in Chicago. And I'm just trying to embrace it and make the most of all the opportunities that are in front of me.
Is managing different than what you thought it would be? And I know that, like, sort of like you've been around a lot of great managers,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Well, the beauty of it is I never thought about it. You know, I never really thought about it or contemplated it.
When you're playing, you're like,
I never thought about it. It never even came into my mind. So I didn't have any, you know, expectations coming in. I didn't have any, like, I didn't have any, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I was just kind of, you know, thrusted into it, which was nice. I didn't, because that way I could just be myself and just, you know, do whatever I had to do that day to put the team in position.
That's interesting, man. Like, because a lot of times guys will sit next to the manager and it's like, oh, I'm going to be a manager someday.
No, I never thought like that. Yeah, my mind was never there. Even when I was playing, I never really thought I was going to be like coaching at this level, you know, maybe helping out here or there, but never really envisioned it this way. So it's all new, it's all fresh. It's not, you know, that's the beauty of it. I didn't have expectations or thoughts, or I wasn't looking for a certain thing in a certain way. And it's just kind of, you know, I try to take advantage of what's in front of me and just have fun with it and make an impact. You know, I just want to give back. I want to, you know, do right by these guys, by the players, and represent the organization as best as I can.
Is there anything, again, that's like, I love the fact that you come in fresh. I'm not even saying that. I love the fact that, because you hear so many, like, I've been taking mental notes all my life, and just coming in, hey, I'm going to do my best. I wanted what's best for the players. But is there anything, like, actually the, like, you know, I talked to Kevin Cash, and he's like, oh, you know, the media is a lot. You know, or is there anything that you sort of like, oh, man, I didn't know this was part of it?
No, you know, I think what I'm having to really try to study, I guess, is like, you know, the pitching side of it's different. You know, I never thought about, you know, like I said, never thought about managing, so I never thought I'd have to be making moves. So, you know, so you're trying to learn and strategize on, like, how to use your bullpen, how to, like, protect certain guys, you know, what matchups you're looking for, and that's all. So that's all new. You know, I think that's tough, but it's fun. It's a challenge, you know, and it's, you know, you try to find, you know, it's, we have a good coaching staff here, so we're always kind of like brainstorming and you know, it's, we like this matchup, or we like this, or who do we like, and, you know, okay, we're both kind of in different spots. Let's try to figure out how we can come together and make it work. So I like that. I like working together as a team. You know, as far as the other stuff, you know, the media is, it doesn't, it's,
yeah, no, I'm just using that as an example.
It's just
a lot of different, your day is made up, like, you're, I really appreciate you doing this, because I know, like, your day is full, man. Like,
yeah. It's fun. It's like I said, I think because I didn't have any expectations, I haven't been around it and seen, you know, a lot of this. It's all new to me. It's all fun, and it's all, like I said, I just want to embrace it and go with it. And I think if I can, you know, bring a positive energy to the guys and to the organization and make it positive for the media and a good experience, I think we can all enjoy it and try to get the most out of it.
You know what there's no blueprint for? It's how to argue with an ump. Honestly, I mean, I don't know if as a player, had you ever... Like,
no, I've never been thrown out, yeah.
Never been thrown out. Yeah. Like, so, like, you talk about, I guess, I would imagine, chalk that up to the competitive
side of things, like when you argued with the other day, you know, excellent, whatever was in your mouth, excellent toss. I would imagine it's in. So actually, gum slash sin toss. Excellent. I mean, but the whole thing was textbook. It was, I'm congratulating you, but you never, that's another thing that you had never gone through,
yeah,
right?
No, I never gone through it, but you know, like you.
But does it, is that the thing, this competitiveness takes over?
Yeah, I think, you know, in that moment, you know, you're just, you know, you're frustrated. I think you're frustrated for your guys. You know, it had been a couple nights in a row, and I just, like I said, that's a lot of frustration that I just let out there. You know, like I said, most guys would say I'm pretty calm, pretty even keel. You don't get mad, but I think I let it all. I let years of aggression out right there.
Did you break down the film?
I don't like watching.
You don't want to watch it.
Yeah, I don't. But you know, who did break it down was my children. You know, so having my son recite what I said was.
Oh no.
was not the best example.
How old is he?
He's 9.
Oh, wow.
So having him geek out and recite what daddy said on TV is...
was he proud? He was proud, right?
He's just laughing. Yeah, you know, yeah. He's at that age where they know the bad words and they know they're not supposed to say it, but it makes them laugh anyway. So
yeah.
He got a big kick out of dad saying...
Stupid social media. Yeah. Well, you know, just sort of the last thing is that having done this now, what do you want to do? Like, is this something that you would want to do? And I know you're taking it day by day and everything's fresh and everything's new, but sometimes you're like, oh, this is interesting. This might be something I want to do.
Yeah, you know, I am having fun with it. You know, I want to finish what I started here. You know, I want to be here for these guys, you know, whatever that is, whether that's managing or just part of the staff next year. I think we got a great group of guys. I think it's a great organization. You know, I've loved that they gave me an opportunity and I want to make the most of it. I want to do right by them. So, you know, I want to be here making an impact every day. You know, whatever that is, whatever position that is, however that goes, I just, you know, I want to be a positive force.
Mm. All right. We asked two questions at the end.
Yeah.
Hot or not? In other words, do you like it or not? Candy corn.
Candy corn. I don't like it. No.
It's a very polarizing Halloween treat. And now we're in school. Math.
Math. Yeah, I like math.
You like it?
Yeah, math's good. Hot.
Math's good. Hot. Math. All right. Well, you know, a lot of people come away from math and like, why am I taking math? So
I think math's important. You got to know math. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.